I'm a tech lead, so I manage and develop at the same time a small team of developers on several products.
How many teams do you manage?
Today I have 3 developers plus 1 traveling from right now. So we are 5 when we are all there. It's a small team with a small scope, but we're doing everything. That's the philosophy in Unlike Project. No front-end developer, no back-end developer, everyone's doing everything. Just your scope is reduced, like that you can have full ownership on what you're doing.
Right, so all of the team members of yours are full-stack developers.
We try to do so. When we got a junior person, usually they are not complete full stack, and we just try to teach what they missed. We give them any kind of task here. So after a while, they start becoming full stack. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. So I mean, you get more ownership if you control actually from end to end what you are doing. And not if you just say, oh, yes, that's what I do, and now that's someone else's problem.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So what does your day-to-day look like at Unlike Project?
A bit of development. I would say 30-40% of what I do is what a developer would do. Some meetings, I think, like anywhere else. As a tech lead, you are asked from the product side for any technical question, consideration, is that possible, how would you do that? There is that part where you are just supporting your team, giving help, because basically even if you are the more senior, sometimes you are also the one who knows the best the product itself. So you answer questions, technical, non-technical. Then we have also, I would say, probably half a day per week. It's just pure training, mm-hmm. where we do exercise and we come back to the basics. Yeah, it's part of what tech lead do in Unlike Project to get sure that people have the same background. Like you can work on the same base.
Right. What is it exercise you're talking about?
The basics would be we do TDD exercise, test-driven development, and every week, not every week we start a new one, but we start one, and then I make them work on it, and then I make them refactor, and explain me how they design their stuff, so it's a good opportunity to come back on something from scratch, and you let them the possibility to do all the choices they want, and they have to explain to you. And you can explain then why it's a great idea or it's actually good.
Is that mandatory to have these exercises?
It's very encouraged. It is mandatory that everyone master TDD, mm-hmm. the concept of solid and everything. And TDD exercise is one of the simplest and best way to practice it. After when the team feels that there is some difficulties in one specific topic, a technical, like a framework, or a tools we use in a framework, then we can do also one exercise completely focused on that part. Mm-hmm. Just to use it, maybe it's the same. When you use a framework in an already existing project, quite big, sometimes it's just overwhelming, like you try to understand everything at the same time. In an exercise, you can come back in something simple and expect some mechanics in an easier way.
Do you do exercises on, let's say, different technologies? Let's say React?
Yeah. So we don't have React in our team, but Vue, yes.
Vue.js.
Yes, for example, I had some very new people a few months ago join my team. Mm-hmm. And they were confused about Vuex, store in Vue.js. Mm-hmm. So we did a small exercise with that store and with store just to explain a bit how you can, what kind of problem you are trying to fix using the store, and what kind of situation you could do without, and at some point, you feel it would help. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next question would be, where were you before joining Enlightened by Jack?
I was in New Zealand. I was traveling in New Zealand, so I stayed there a full year. So I wasn't very confident with my English at first, so I didn't try to start for IT jobs over there first. I've done some construction sites, jobs, and or gardening jobs or stuff like that, until I felt okay, now I could work in IT again with Kiwis, you know. And I tried to look for something in New Zealand, and it's actually not easy to look for a job when you have just a temporary visa, you know. People want permanent resident, and I didn't feel like I would stay. I wanted to stay in New Zealand for longer than a year. So I started looking at anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And applying in Australia, someone gave me a tips about a guy looking for developers in Jakarta. And I say, why not? And then, And then I interview with Enlightened by Jack in Jakarta for a few days. Came back to New Zealand, and I thought somehow, if I don't do that right now, if I don't have an experience in that kind of country now, I will never do it. I will never do that at 40 plus or something like that, if I don't do it at 20.
So you mean a software engineer, right?
Especially going in a country like Indonesia, and where you know nothing, you don't know the language, you know, you have no friend, you have no... It's something you can do when you're young. Mm-hmm. If you start having a family, it's complicated.
All right. So, but what do you mean by again? You mean you've done it before? You mean study? You study software engineering before
so
that?
So yeah, I study
New Zealand, right?
Yes. I study software engineering in France, mm-hmm. in the city of Nancy, and I worked also as software engineer in France for 3 years. Before to leave and to go to New Zealand. Yeah, so I had a bit of experience before.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But still, yeah, going in a new country, it's a totally different experience.
Right. So that's what you made you decide to work at Enlightened by Jack.
Oh, there was more. The project was quite awesome. Like when I arrived, so Enlightened by Jack is working on taxes, you know, in Indonesia, and the full, I mean, what was behind it was really to say it's a mess, like administration mm-hmm. is a mess, and other countries succeed to develop, I mean, to make it so easy through IT. Indonesia is a developing country. If you succeed to fix tax, you can actually help the country a lot, you know. And that was the message they were telling me when I interviewed. I really, really liked it. It was a very small team, you know, the kind of startup you have you have around 20 person, and it was a new country, and everything looked kind of awesome. So all together, I just thought, okay, let's do it.
Nice. So what is it like to be, I know right now you're in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
How do you balance between Singapore and Jakarta? I know you would have to travel to Jakarta, right? From time to time.
So the transition was a bit complicated. I was with my team in Jakarta. I moved in Singapore, and somehow my team was really small. So, but still, they were in Jakarta. So we were split between two countries. We are more and more set up in Singapore, so it's possible to do it without to go to Jakarta. But still, I would say, at first we had to go at least once per month to Jakarta, and little by little we let it go. And I haven't been there since for work. I would say since April, so maybe 3 or 4 months now. I'm going there next week.
But 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, it's not for me, not a huge necessity to go there anymore. My team is fully in Singapore now. What happened is, yeah, the management will try to travel as much as they can. Mm-hmm. So probably once every 3 weeks.
All right. But how the communication is working right now? Is that still video conferences?
So we have some. Yes. No. It's basically all video.
Just, yeah. You. Messaging.
We have a lot of messaging. The day to day will be go through messaging, and we have some rituals where we set up a video conference with some key people. Depends on the topic, and we can talk between Jakarta and Singapore. And usually it's. I mean, communication works between teams works quite well. The challenge is also in the business part, you know, the strategic and sales part, because here you have to share what customers say, what it's probably more difficult to set up a specific scope where you can be completely, you own your own part and you don't need to communicate much with other people. But in our side, in the technical side, it works well. Every 2 weeks, for example, we have tech lead meetings where tech lead share new stuff they discovered in the last months.
Is that in the product or
technical? It's completely technical.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's kind of tech retro.
A bit, yeah, but in the company scope, like only you have tech leads of all teams.
All right.
And they will tell you, okay, this month with my team we tried that, and that's my experience conclusion. You know, like that's how we tried to do it. That what was nice, what wasn't. There is probably a solution to go around the cons, and here is. I think I should recommend it. You should try or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you met any professional milestones at LIPA, Jack? Like a milestones, I mean, like, you know, in your career, let's say you achieved something here.
Yes. I think I did. It's not really easy to put a name on this milestone, but I definitely grown up in online Pajak. My skills are not the same. Like as I said, the full stack thing. I used to be responsible for one application in the past in France. I was consultant in France, and as consultant, you basically you execute stuff. You can have ideas, you can share it, but you cannot decide. It allow in online project. It allow you to have more freedom. Like you can try stuff, you can test it. You have someone like our CTO who supports you and who will help you also to sort the good to the wrong, and you learn a lot. So only the fact that now I'm tech lead, it's already a milestone somehow. I'm managing junior people, I'm teaching them stuff, and I realize how much they need to learn, and then I realize in that way how much I did learn in OP. But I'm not really able to say what precise milestone it was. Like a lot of it, but no, there is milestones, but the whole journey for now, I see it as one full thing. Like one milestone would be, for example, also moving to Singapore.
Yeah, I think so.
It has been a big change, a big, big change.
Right. So you've been working in Jakarta for how long?
4 years now.
Mm-hmm. And here is...
In Singapore, 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved last year.
What would you tell someone considering a career at Online Pajak?
I would tell go for it. You know, if you bit of a fighter and if you like adventure, I would say go for it. There is really space for someone who have ideas and who wants to do stuff and to put stuff in production, you know, to just solve problems. Everything is not always easy, so it can be tough, it can be really tough, but it's definitely not boring, and you're gonna learn a lot. Even if you're good, the better you are, the more freedom you will get, and the more you can express yourself. There is no way you cannot not learn from it.
Especially as a LIPA project, right?
Yes.
What do you enjoy about company culture?
I will come back on some stuff I've already said. For me, it's especially as a developer, is freedom and flexibility. You're kind of free to work the way you want. You are in a small team, so quickly you will know everything about what you're doing, I mean what your team is doing. You will be able to explore and test, you know. And you can try other technology. You are not limited to one framework. You are, even in the product, even as developer, if you have product ideas, people will listen to you. Mm-hmm. And your team will listen to you, and probably will try to execute the good idea you could have.
And I know your company is quite diverse, right? You have plenty of people, junior people, right?
Yeah.
Women in tech.
Yes.
Designers.
Yes, completely, completely.
Foreigners.
Yes, there is everything. There is basically everything. We have junior people who are not young. We have young people who are already very good. We have women, men. I mean, in a quite nice percentage in the tech world. No, the company is very international.
What's the best piece of career advice you ever gotten within your career as software engineer?
This one, I think this is a complicated question. I would say, you know, the classic keep it simple and pragmatism. Where you are a developer or software engineer or whatever you call it, you are surrounded with enthusiastic people, usually, and people who really love their craftsmanship and who are ready to do anything they found fun. And that can be the complete opposite of what the business wants. And yeah. I believe that pragmatism, you know, it's like you prevent over-engineering, you prevent doing stuff that you don't use, it seems a simple advice. In real life, it's actually difficult to draw the line, you know, where you should stop, when you can dream and say, oh yeah, we could do that, and then you come back to reality and say, yeah, but we don't need it. I believe that's what makes like a performing engineer.
There will be three questions. The quiz. Your favorite video game?
Far Cry 2.
What's your favorite tech?
Today it's Vue.js. It's gonna change, I know it.
Three qualities or skills for software engineer?
So for me, pragmatism. So as I said, very, very useful in any case. Being curious. The third one, you have to love it. You have to love it. I believe it's really hard to do that job if you don't really love being sitting in front of a computer and writing code.
Perfect. Okay, thanks for joining us here today.
You're welcome.
It'll be fun.
It was a pleasure.
Okay, it's all good? Finished.
You don't have the cut.